Accordingly.
Howdy there, Tara.
All right, well, I've got my hands-free device installed in my car.
Good.
Figured out how to use it. Was a little tricky. But it is now clinging to one of my air-conditioned vents.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. So, and so I've been driving hands-free for a few weeks now. My husband got it for me and hooked it up in there, so... Yeah. I'm ready to go hands-free, and I couldn't be more excited about it.
I did this a long time ago.
So. Did you?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I drive a manual transmission, so.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little problematic there.
I'm jealous. I used to love driving manual transmission.
I got a nice little six-speed, and yeah.
Yeah, I learned, my first car, I had to, because I couldn't afford a standard, I like had to get the manual version of the car, and I ended up loving it. Yep. I had to sell that car. Because I couldn't, you know, put the like the baby seats in it. I couldn't get them in. But otherwise, I'd still probably be driving that car. I loved that car.
See, I wound up learning how to drive, driving my grandfather's truck on the farm.
Wow.
I mean, that was like what they referred to as three on the tree.
Three on the tree?
Yeah, you never heard that?
No.
That's a three-speed manual transmission. It is on the steering column. So you had reverse, first,
on the steering
up and across,
column?
Second. Yes.
Huh.
Manual transmission on the steering column. Yeah, three on the tree. You never heard that?
No.
Okay. See, that's okay. I'm dating myself here. There's plenty, I'm sure, on the text line that will verify that as a very common phrase among automotive enthusiasts. So.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to understand, explain this manual transmission thing to my teenagers who are learning to drive. They can't understand what I'm talking about. Like, no, the thing that, never mind.
Yeah.
Do you have a good weekend?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was very busy yesterday. We're definitely working on Labor Day. I cleaned out the garage, cut the grass. My wife was inside cleaning up the house. But good weekend, and I hope you did too.
Oh, good. So the wife put you to work.
Yeah. Well, actually, I got a chance to clean out the garage, which was on my list.
You got a chance. Okay.
Well, at least one and a third walls of the garage were cleaned out. We'll put it that way.
Can you get an actual car in there now?
No. That's yes. Okay. I've had that for a long time. There was a time when we could only get one car in the garage, but that time ended a long time ago. So. Yeah. I've been pretty faithful about that. Now it was tight. You know, you may have had to try to scramble out of the door, but we've always had the cars in there for both for quite some time. But yeah, I got it cleaned out well now. So
one of the most miserable projects to me, cleaning the garage.
Yes,
so.
I detest it, but it had to be done.
If you need a way to do it, I actually came up with a way to do it, and it was actually somebody on the text line, and we're among the few. We're very proud in our neighborhood. We park both our cars in our garage, and we can fit them in there, barely, but we can do it. And the way I got there, and again, this came off the I get the best ideas off the text line. Somebody who said, "Yeah, I couldn't do it. I'd procrastinate. I would never get it done." This person said, "Don't get it done. It's too overwhelming. Decide instead that you're gonna remove one box worth of objects a weekend. That's it. And I did that over time. Just one, and then I was done, and I could get that feeling of satisfaction that I did it, but I don't have to do anymore. I'm not overwhelmed, so I just procrastinate, and it became something I enjoyed and looked forward to getting rid of that one box. But no more because it was too stressful. Because you know, you like you go through the box and you get hit with all this nostalgia and all these memories and can't really throw this out. And oh, that was such a precious phase of the kid's childhood. And maybe we should just put the box over here. You know, so I hold on to stuff. I do. My husband will throw stuff out before we're done using it. And I'm like, no, wait, no, wahoo, come back with that. You know, and he's like, no, just clearing some space because he can't stand clutter. Not me. I'm like, oh, but the memories. You know, so anyway, but I finally, it took me, Lee, it took me like 8-9 months, something like that. But I cleaned out the garage that way.
Well, I think that that's a very good psychological approach to it.
Yes.
Because it is overwhelming.
Because otherwise we wouldn't be parking in my garage. So, you know, it's cluttering back up again. But as long as I can get the cars in there, I feel good.
Well, the fact that I don't have to go out in the winter and clear the frost off the windshield, that's worth the effort right there. That's the part. Or have to get in the car in the rain during the spring or summer. So
yeah, absolutely. All right. So I guess we got to do a show, right?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, all
you
right.
You know, it's what, Tuesday?
Yeah. So anyway, going back to the shelf funds, because it is now September 2nd. And by the way, I'm going to spend the rest of the week saying the wrong day. It is my goal to figure out that it is Tuesday and remember that for the rest of the week. Right. So
good luck with
that. I'll probably mess that up this week. But yeah, no, I couldn't be happier because I got to tell you, I live, you know, I live down a country road. It's narrow. There are no shoulders on that road and there is nowhere to escape. You go off the side, then you're, you know, you're going down way into a ditch and your car is probably going to roll. And I have these people that drive this incredibly highway. It's a 35, but they insist on doing 55. And they'll tell you, if you're, I mean, you could be doing 40, they'll tell you like you're 15 under, right?
Yeah.
And they, so they're driving and all of them are looking at their phones. That is the track that the carpool moms take during the afternoon. And they are all, they have max one eye on the road and the other one, I mean, the phone is right up there. They're holding it. It makes me, I have almost been driven off the road so many times. And now my kids are learning to drive. It's happening to them. By the, and it's always women. I'm not going to pick on women. I don't know why the men don't do it. Or maybe the men are doing it, Lee, and they're just better at like putting their phones lower so you can't see it. The women don't even hide it, man. I'm like, what are you playing solitaire? What are you doing? Dude, honey, you almost drove me off the road. Yeah. And they, you know how they'll do? They'll like, it's a double yellow line. They'll like, they'll like get one tire over and then swerve back. I'm like, well, where am I supposed to go? There's no shoulder here, honey. Right. It's just... Oh, so I am very excited about this. I am sick and tired of how people drive with these phones. We need, and look, the roads are, they belong to all of us. They're one of the few public goods. I don't mind that kind of rule on the road at all. And especially because I think it's going to keep us all safer. But it's, people have so abused the cell phone thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always.
It's cost people lives. I mean.
It has.
You know, who knows how many. So.
It has, including their own, by the way. Yes. It's just people drive off the road after overcorrecting. So I'm sick of these people, and now that they can't hold their cell phones anymore driving, I'm just cannot wait for that.
There's all kinds of good mounts. I've had them over the years. I've got now the car I drive on a daily basis up here was not that, you know, technically advanced because it's like 12, 13 years old at this point. So I got one of those CarPlay things. It's got a little screen. So I've got the Apple CarPlay. So I've got the maps. I've got the podcast, the radio stations, and all that's right there on the screen. And I've got the voice control. So, you know, I don't have to touch things. So,
yeah, I'm really liking having that cell phone. I'm surprised I didn't do it before. I'm like mounted right there. It's a lot easier for me to see.
Yeah, but there's a lot of good mounts out there. And especially if you've got the MagSafe case where it's just magnetic and you don't have to, you know, lock something in place, that helps a lot.
Yes.
So
fantastic. Now let's actually enforce the law.
Yeah.
My daughter and I went hiking over the weekend. We hiked the New Rail Trail. Actually, we up in Virginia, that's near Galax. And it is, we actually did a bike part of it. We biked 29 miles this weekend. Knees held up the whole time.
Good deal.
But Galax is so heavily patrolled. Like, I haven't seen that. My daughter said, I have not seen this in this many police officers in the entire time that we've lived here in 10 years. And I'm like, I haven't either. They're everywhere. People drive so well, very civil there. And I'm sure that the Galax is a very small tourist town. You can tell what they're doing. They're funding their police department with tickets. And I was just fine with that. I was like, I love this, man. Yeah. I mean, I didn't almost get killed three times over a weekend like it is here. So I'm all for it. I just don't know if there's anyone to enforce it. I just never see law enforcement here. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, we're not policed enough, in my opinion. And I think it creates an unsafe environment. So I hope they actually give the tickets out for this in the upstate. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. So much stuff going on, Lee. The list of 68 jobs that qualify for the new tax deduction on the no tax on tips.
Yeah.
The big, beautiful bill. Love to see this. Worked a lot of years as a waitress to help pay off. You know, I started working as a waitress in high school and had to continue doing it all the way through college just to pay the bills. And so, wow, this would have really, I know how this would have helped.
We're not on that though, are we?
No, we're not.
Of course, we don't ever get tips anyway, you know.
Right. But you know, you could tip us if you want. Yes, exactly. I mean, I'm not going to stop you.
It's not going to be discouraged.
We do have like that slot in the front of the building. Yeah. You can just throw the money in.
Yes, exactly.
The Rise guys don't steal it.
Yeah,
then, you know,
there is that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could do that. But of course, top of the list, I was a bartender in college too. Loved that job. That was a fun job. Waitstaff, food servers, dining room and cafeteria attendants, chefs and cooks, food preparation workers, fast food counter workers, dishwashers, gambling dealers, anybody basically involved in gambling, dancers, musicians, musicians and singers, Yeah, just tuck it in a G-strap.
Okay, right, thank you.
Anyway,
I was afraid that was coming, so.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yes, maids, housekeeping. So all these people you check. Now think about what a difference this is, right? From what the Democrats were trying to do, which was hire 80,000 more IRS agents to go after these people and shake them down for money. It turns out to give to Stacey Abrams, right?
That's yes, what, exactly.
Right. Just give her another $2 billion.
Who in her mind thinks she's the governor of Georgia. So
she will always be the governor of Georgia in her mind. She's
governor
also
on her mind.
Yeah, $2 billion she got transferred to her as they were throwing gold bars off the boat.
Out of the EPA, yeah, of all places.
So we go from 80,000 new IRS agents, more than doubling the size of the IRS, to go after these poor gig employees under the Democrats, which was brutal, to no tax on tips under the Republicans and Trump halting the expansion of the IRS. I mean, what a difference that's going to make for Americans, not having to shake down really some of the hardest working people among us who struggle the most. And I've done those jobs. They're tough jobs. So good. Fantastic.
The standoff between Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and President Trump shows no signs of easing. Johnson taking to the streets on Monday after signing an executive order limiting how much the city's police department can work with troops and federal immigration agents.
Are you prepared to defend this land? The people united will always prevail. I need you all to stand firm, to stand strong. This is the city that said keep hope alive. The city that birthed Yes We Can. And the city that will defend this country. No troops in Chicago. No troops in Chicago.
Johnson is promising to resist despite another violent weekend in Chicago. NBC Chicago reports 54 people were shot and 7 people were killed during Labor Day weekend in the Windy City. The president is making comparisons with D.C., saying, wow, Mayor Muriel Bowser of D.C. has become very popular because she worked with me and my great people in bringing crime down to virtually nothing in D.C. Her statements and actions were positive, instead of others like Pritzker, Wes Moore, Newsom, and the 5% approval rated mayor of Chicago.
Okay, what's going on here? Trump's still threatening to do this, and he's doing, this is brilliant. I mean, it's the kind of stuff Republicans never used to do. It's the ABC 123 stuff. He has got Democrats out there screaming bloody murder in defense of criminals. Total win. And you see Brandon Johnson, mayor of Chicago, we will defend, who are you going to defend? They're coming in to pick up criminals. And the bottom line here, folks, let me explain to you what's going on here. Democrats do not care about human life. They never have. They care only about one thing, and that is votes. And when a person is, you know, even an American citizen is a criminal and they are in prison, they cannot vote till they get out and their voting rights are restored. Democrats will do just about anything to keep you out of prison so you can vote for them. And if, you know, if you're raping kids, killing women, hey, I don't care in the meantime, whatever, robbing banks, it doesn't matter. That's why they have the dual justice system. Now, folks, there's something much bigger going on here. And you saw this in D.C. and you begin to see taking shape what Trump is actually doing here. He's going into these cities, starting with D.C. He's going to break the Democrats. He will. And, well, he's going to clean up crime. Okay, the stats are amazing. Yes, he's cleaning up crime, but what else is he doing? He's picking up the illegal immigrants and violent criminals who are American citizens who are using these cities as sanctuaries. Either the American citizen criminals because they're, you know, they, it's so lax there, they can keep bonding out. Same with the illegals. And he's going in, picking them up federally so that the Democrats can't just churn them back out. It's brilliant. Here's Kash Patel talking about just who they've picked up in D.C., including 81 violent gang members that are wanted. So most of them illegal immigrant, but not all.
FBI Director Kash Patel says there have now been 1,600 arrests since the administration began its crime crackdown in D.C. He says over the last few days alone, there were 19 arrests involving the FBI, 8 gun recoveries, and 7 drug seizures. The president is set to give an announcement today at 2 p.m. local time. We will see if he has any.
So 1,600 arrests again, 81 nationally or internationally wanted gang members, many of them illegal immigrants, some of them not. So what are you seeing these sanctuary cities? They're not just hiding the illegals. They've become a haven for criminal networks. That's going to be important just a sec. Because, folks, the story I'm going to tell you today about, it looks like we're going to have a big announcement for Trump today at 2 o'clock. I'm thinking it's going to be, we're going to be at in a form of war with Venezuela. Why? Trump is breaking the back of the gang connections between Maduro, the Socialist Party, which is a cartel, and Trendaragua, which I've been warning about for a while. He's going in and breaking these connections as we have watched the Democrat Party effectively merge with the cartels and become a violent criminal operation. That's why these Democrats are fighting so hard to keep these illegals and to keep these violent criminals. So hard, they don't care what the violent criminals do to their actual sheeple voters. Take a listen. This is a stunning trend that Democrats refuse to acknowledge.
Here's why Democrat cities plagued by violence should consider getting on board. If you look here at Washington, D.C. at a two-week period, property crime is down 20%. But the biggest thing are all of the violent crimes, often including robbery, which is down 60%. Homicides are down 71% from last year over this exact same period of time. Assaults with a dangerous weapon, down 10%. Yet, if you listen to Democrats, they don't care about those statistics.
No, they don't. Because as long as those same criminals are out, they can vote Democrat. That's all that matters. They do not care. And they're trying to keep the networks I've been telling you about for a very long time that Ken Paxton warned about that the Democrats have built with cartels and the Chinese. Listen to this. Here's the nexus right here. And I've been telling you, Democrat Party is merging with the mullahs in Iran, China, and the cartels into one big international, basically gang slash criminal network. Headline, Chinese networks laundering billions in cartel wealth through the USA. Wait a minute. China is laundering cartel. Are you talking about Mexican cartel? Yes. You're talking about Venezuelan cartel? Yes. Where's the money coming from? It's the fentanyl money. Now it appears as though some Chinese interests are actually laundering cartel money through the American financial system, billions of dollars worth in drug cartel cash through the U.S. financial system. That's according to the Treasury Department. Funny, Democrats didn't crack down on this, did they? Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, we're going to get deep into this today, said banks flagged, get this, $312 billion in transactions from suspected Chinese money laundering networks from January 2020 to December 2024. So that's under Joe Biden, $312 billion laundered. That came from 137,000 Bank Secrecy Act reports from financial institutions. Treasury also linked Chinese money laundering networks to U.S. real estate transactions, casinos, human trafficking, and even laundering through assisted living homes in New York. So you are looking at the merger between the cartels, the Chinese, and of course, Democrat Party turns their heads as China and the cartels build the networks that bring in the new voters, the future voters, the illegal immigrant voters, and all the gangsters who keep the flow of human beings going, like Kilmore Abrego Garcia, who we're going to get into. Money lobbying. This, folks, this is a shocking nexus between China, the cartels, and the Democrat Party. Money laundering networks linked to individual passport holders from the People's Republic of China enable cartels to poison Americans with fentanyl, conduct human trafficking, wreak havoc among communities across our greatest nation. Why is China doing this? Why help with human trafficking? They are helping with the voter drive. Why? They want Democrats in total power in the U.S. because ultimately, as we saw last week in New York, China aims to take over America as a vassal state via the Democrat Party. That sounds nuts? It's not. What do we end last week with? Article in, of all places, the New York Times about how China has so deeply infiltrated the New York City Democrat Party, it is now calling the shots in a lot of the primary elections. That right there is what Trump is fighting. It starts in China, but also Venezuela, Mexico, where Marco Rubio is going today to prepare for the war. And make no mistake, this is a war to take back U.S. territory. You heard about it here first. Okay, we have checked. Got an update. Donald Trump is still not dead. Never mind the fact that right now on X, the number one trending thing is hashtag Trump dead. So this is kooky leftist idea that Trump has actually died, and this is a body double. But they're going to get to the bottom of it. The other two things trending the White House and Oval Office. They're all over it. This has been trending for almost 24 hours now and really started beginning the weekend. Why? Because the left has no hope. Their only hope is that Trump will pass away and they will be left with soft, pliable Republicans who will capitulate to them, as has happened for many decades. They don't know what to do with a Republican who won't capitulate. And they also know that just about everybody absent Trump will capitulate. We know Mike Johnson will sell out. All you got to do is go boo, and he'll be like, how much? What do you want? Marco Rubio is a great statesman, but he's a, you know, he's an amnesty guy. They can get their open borders that way. And J.D. Vance used to be very anti-Trump before he was for pro-Trump. They think they can bend him to their will. So they're very excited this weekend. And that's what trended all weekend long. What caused this? Because your liberal friends, they're very excited. I mean, they have no platform of any kind, no plans to do anything but oppose Trump. And so they this is the best or the most hope they've had in a while. Where's this coming from? Okay, started with this over the weekend. Rumors of his death, particularly on X. Primary triggers. And Trump had not been seen publicly since a cabinet meeting on Tuesday. Good. I hope he took a break. And no public events scheduled for the Labor Day weekend. That theory led to, well, maybe he's sick. This unusual lack of visibility combined with a blank White House schedule sparked questions about his whereabouts. Of course, they never had any of these questions about Joe Biden, okay? So it starts trending, where is Trump? Trump is dead. Starts trending on X. And by Saturday, it's 158,000 posts. Everybody's very excited on the left that Trump might be dead. After all, remember after the assassinations, a little over 30% of Democrats said that they thought it would be a very good thing if Trump died by assassination. So this is who they are. Now, here's the part, folks, where every once in a while this happens to us. Most of the time, the left walks around so brainwashed, so starved for real information that they're almost struck dumb. I mean, they literally become dumb, or they sound dumb, not actually IQ dumb, but they might as well be. They're made so dumb by their media, as they just don't know what's going on. It's very rare, but occasionally that'll happen on our side too, where we're not getting real news on something, and it's happening here. And I'll tell you what has the Democrats so excited and had me worried a week ago. I was talking about this. Trump, earlier in 25, okay, Trump was diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency. It's a condition causing swelling lower legs. My dad has a version of it. And it's common in people over 70. But it means, you know, your heart is beginning to struggle, that you are having trouble overcoming the swelling, the bloating, things like that. It is very much, you know, blood pressure circulation related. And you're over 70, it's not gonna be great no matter what you do, right? You can exercise and all that, but Trump's never been in the best shape. And so he had a meeting. This is, you can go back and read about this in the Associated Press. And I checked this out. This is legit, okay? Headline, this is what started it. Trump is checked for lower leg swelling and diagnosed with common condition in older adults. Okay. But they took a look at him. He was sitting there, a big White House confab. And this, you know, started in July, back in August. And the swelling in his ankles is unbelievable. You can see the minor bruising on his hands. Elderly people with this will get that too. And it occurs when the like little valves inside veins that normally help blood, you know, against gravity, flow against gravity, gradually lose the ability to work properly. And if you look at the pictures here, wow. This was during a, you remember when the Euroweenies came a couple weeks ago and Trump is at the White House and he's sitting there and they're not wrong about this. You can Google it. This was, he looks like he's got elephantitis in his ankles. They are really swollen and that is really not good. And I was saying, which has been about a week and a half ago, something like that. Caroline Leavitt, his spokesperson, was bragging that the reporters on the plane were sleeping, and Trump worked a staggering 35 straight hours doing an interview every single hour in that period while the reporters slept, and she was very proud and, oh, look at him, he can outwork them. And I went, oh my gosh, please stop. Please, you know, we love what he's doing. He's accomplished more in like 6-7 months than like any president since LBJ, but he's got to stop. And the left knows this. They're all into it. Our side's just not paying attention to it. We're actually not very well informed on this. And it's not because our side's hiding it or censoring it like the left does. It's just there's so much else going on, so much victory. We're just not paying attention. We need to start paying attention. Talk radio hosts around the country, we need to start a movement. Trump takes a day off. He's got to take a day off. That 35-hour stretch was, you know, remember that he had the summit with Putin and then he had a deal with the Euro weenies. He just didn't sleep. Guy's sleeping like 3-4 hours. He's really just napping. You can't, I'm telling you, you can't do that with this. You can't. He is not well. He's not. Now, I'm not saying he's off like Biden was or senile. I'm saying you can't push your body at 79 like this. This would kill you in your 50s. You keep doing this kind of schedule. So I started talking about that. I said, you know what? We need to start a movement. Trump needs to take a day off. Just one day. No work on Sunday. And people on his staff need to enforce that. Stop it. Take it away. Take the Truth Social away. Take it all away and make him rest. So I was thrilled he didn't have any events over the weekend. But I got to tell you, I was a little worried when I saw it. The left's not wrong on this, except they hope he'll die. I don't want him to live. Because folks, if he doesn't, and you know, in our nightly prayers in our family, we pray for Trump to live the 4 years. We do. We just flat out pray for it. To make America great again. We say it and we all kind of laugh when we say it's our family prayers, but we do, because I'm telling you what, this man doesn't make it. This Republican can make it either. I mean, J.D. Vance, I think, would carry forward a lot of the stuff. I think he's probably a good guy. Just you want to get reelected, but it's not going to be like with Trump. You know it. Nobody's going to take the fight to us. And by the way, the other thing that got him going was Trump saying he was trying to stop the Ukraine war to do a good thing to make up for all of his, you know, playboy days and sin in the past so he could get into heaven. The left went wild. Oh, cool. He's going to heaven. Bye-bye. You know, so that's all going on. But there are legitimate medical concerns here that our side is not talking about. Everybody on our side jumped in to defend him. No, everything's great. No, it's not. It's not great. And he needs to slow down. So if I'm talking about this today and you're using me for show prep because I go first on the East Coast, we need to start a movement talk radio because it'll filter up fast. It always does when we speak on the same notes. He has got to start taking a break. You cannot go 7 days a week sleeping 3-4 hours a day at his age. You can't, and we need him to live. We do. If he gets a third less, though, and that's fine because look what he's already accomplished. I'm getting lit up for agreeing with the left on this. I can agree with the left when they're right. It happens like once, twice a year. No, I mean, trending hashtag Trump dead is ridiculous, but he's going to be if he doesn't stop. And I said that, folks, I said that a week and a half ago following this. And I told you, look, I have checked out what they're saying. Some of it's stupid. They're trying to pretend like, oh, he's senile. You know, his circulatory problems are affecting his brain. No, it's not. They're not. But his health problems are real. And when you look at the swelling in his ankles lately, it scared me. I mean, I pulled up the Reuters article and I checked the photo. I then went and watched the video from the Oval Office. Are they exaggerating? Because in liberal media, they lie. They're not exaggerating. Well, oh my gosh, look at his heels. Holy cow. And Trump earlier this year was diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency. I said this last segment, and that occurs when like little valves inside the you know, veins normally help blood flow against gravity. They lose the ability to work properly and you get the swelling in the ankles. It's one of the signs of it, but it's not a good sign. Yes, it's common in people over 70. My dad has a version of it, but I know dealing with his health problems, just listening to him talk about it, he's got to sit down and slow down. My dad does, to be healthy, and Trump isn't doing it. So over the weekend, Caroline Leavitt, who, folks, I was cringing, and I played the audio for you. She was bragging because the New York Times reporters, you know, missed some critical details because they were asleep on the plane. And she's saying, if you'd just been up like Trump, and she said, you know, she's bragging, he's been up for 35 hours. And I was like, oh, dear God, somebody make him go to sleep. He can't keep doing it. He's going to kill himself. And I, you know what I think? I think he has such a burn on for these people. They tried to put him in prison for 700 years. He should be in prison. It is a miracle he's not. He was going to spend the rest of his life there. He wants to get these people. He knows he's got 3 years to save this country. And then after that, all bets are off. Who knows what happens? And you know nobody else can nobody can do this. Nobody will do the things he's doing that it's going to take to save the country. Caroline Levitt, spokesperson for Donald Trump, addressed the bruising on the back of Trump's hand seen in recent photos covered up by makeup that was not an exact match for his skin tone. She said the bruising was consistent with irritation from his frequent handshaking and use of aspirin. And of course, Trump takes aspirin to reduce the risk of heart attack and stroke. She said during a press briefing that her disclosure of Trump's medical checkup was meant to dispel recent speculation about his health. But folks, go look at his ankles. That's a circulation problem. And again, I know because I'm dealing with my dad. My dad's, you know, very similar age to him. Is his head okay? Yeah, his head's fine, but he needs to slow the heck down. So I know what's going to happen today. Everyone's, you know, and all these talkers across the country will come back from their break and laugh. Oh, Trump's fat. He's fine. He's got that. His staff has got to slow him down. So I put up a list of demands on X for the staff. Retweet it. I'm serious. Take one day off a week. He's working 7 days a week and sleeping 3 to 4 hours a night. Not good. No more 35-hour work days, at least 4 hours of sleep a night. He's 79, folks. His staff's got to make it happen. So I, for one, I was a little worried when he didn't have a lot of events, but I was hoping he was sleeping off the week. He just needs to chill. Just be safe. Be healthy. We need to get 3 years out of him.